Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that we have so many reasons to praise you. The ultimate reason, the best reason, is because Jesus came to this earth to die for us and to give us life and hope and peace. And Lord, we thank you for that. So Lord, we praise you for just being so good. And God, we love you. And Lord, we just ask you, Lord, now as we break open the Word and we study the Word, which is the Bible, that you, Lord, would teach us something, God, that we need to hear today. We love you, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's give God a praise clap, if we can, this morning for how good he is today. You know, as we begin Life Community Church and we begin to pray and think through what the Lord is doing, we begin a new sermon series today entitled Choices, Making Right Decisions in a World Gone Wrong. Anybody ever need help with decision making this morning? Okay, a couple of us do. Absolutely. We are prone to make bad decisions. That is absolutely true. Now, there are some decisions in life that are easier than other decisions, but even the easy decisions can be difficult to make. For example, what will I wear today? Some of you guys had crises and, you know, complexes trying to figure out what you're going to wear today. Other great decisions. What will I DVR this week, you know? Especially if I have three shows that's coming on at the same time and one of them has to go. What will I DVR? And this is a great one that has a lot of indecisiveness, a lot of help. Where will we eat lunch at? And don't you, if you're married today, you ask your wife, talking to the men here, you say, where do you want to eat? It doesn't matter. Well, let's go to Texas Roadhouse. No, I don't want to eat there. Okay, let's go eat Shogun's. I don't want to eat there. What about Mexican? Nah, where do you want to eat? Let's just go home, you know? That's a loaded question, you know, when they say, where do you want to eat? Just don't fall down there. Just say, you just tell me, okay? So minor decisions are really hard to make sometimes, let's think if the minor decisions are hard to make, if the small ones in life are hard to make, you know, what to eat, what to wear, what to dress like, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, what about the major decisions? For example, what kind of career will I choose? That's a major decision. Who will I choose to marry? That's a big decision. How will I raise my kids? Will I homeschool? Will I do public school, private school? Big decisions that we have to make and have to choose. And we continue to go down the list. You know, a very, very crazy season we're in right now. You turn on the TV and this candidate wants to yell at you about this and this candidate wants to yell at you about this and you're like, man, what is the real deal? What is the reality? You know, who do I vote for? You know, and major decisions like that, or how do I respond to the situation that I'm facing right now? And that could be anything. I mean, you could fill in the blank with whatever it is you're dealing with. How do I make the right decision? Now, we are so prone to just go with what feels right. We live in a country and a world and a nation, and just the way the world is that we base everything on feelings. That if we feel a certain way, then it must be the right decision. But really and truthfully, that's not what the Bible says. We're not supposed to make our decisions based on how we feel. And that is a little bit of a trap that we fall into sometimes, thinking that, okay, I feel this way, therefore it must be the right decision. Proverbs 14:12 tells us this, that there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it's death. Now, did you hear that? There is a way that seems right. There's a way that feels right. But ultimately, in the end, it leads you to death. So if we base our decision-making on how we feel, we're actually going down a very dark road. That's not the way we're to make decisions. We're not to make decisions because we feel a certain way. That's not how our decisions are to be made. And the reason that our feelings are so messed up and that we're so prone to make bad decisions all the time, that we're so prone to make bad decisions, is simply because we live in a world which we call fallen, F-A-L-L-E-N. It's a fallen world. Now, let me explain that to you real quick. The Bible teaches us that there is sin in the world, or that we have disobeyed God, and we've done things that aren't pleasing to God. And because of that, we've done bad things in the world. we actually have affected the whole world system. That it's a bad spirit, basically, in the world. It influences us to make continually bad decisions. And when we make a spiritual bad decision, we call that sin. When we disobey God, that is called sin. And sin ultimately leads us to death. So if we're in a world that is just impacted by sin, which influences us to make the wrong decision, where do we go to make right decisions? So how do we do that? Over the next few weeks of this sermon series that we begin today, we're talking about biblical decision making, how to make decisions based on the Bible. And we're going to do something. We're going to have a memory verse that we're going to memorize for 5 weeks. It's very simple. If you have your program, it's on the back, it's at the top. And this is our memory verse. And this is the words of Jesus, not my will, but yours be done. Luke 22:42. Can we say that out loud together as a congregation today? Let's say that. Not my will, but yours be done. Luke 22:42. We're going to commit that to memory. So as we begin to think about decisions and making decisions, we need to pray like Jesus. It's not what I want. It's what God wants. It's not my will, but your will be done. As we approach the topic of decision making, making good and godly choices in our life, I'm going to tell you that before we get into how to do this or how to do that, which will come over the next few weeks, we're going to talk today about the first and best decision. Because there's one decision that you have to make in your life. And if you don't make that decision, if you get that decision wrong, if you make the wrong choice on that one, all the other decisions just continue to unravel. So there is a first and best choice that we have to make today. There is a first and best choice. Mark read the passage to us, and it's from Joshua chapter 24. Let me give you a little bit of background about that passage. Joshua was the guy who took over for Moses. Moses was the great leader who led the Israelite slaves out of Egypt into the promised land. Well, Moses never got to see the promised land. He died in the wilderness. But Joshua, his job was to carry the Israelites on into the promised land. In his life, as he did that, and he conquered the land as he did that, at the very end of his life, Joshua made a very bold statement. He said, I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know where you're going to go, but I'm just going to go ahead and make a decision for me and my family. And that decision is this, that I don't know what you're going to do, don't know where you're going to go, don't know how you're going to live your life. But for my life and my family, I choose to serve the Lord. Choose for yourself what seems right to you. That's what he told us today. And I think as Joshua would outline that the first and best choice is to dedicate your life to God. Because when you begin to make the first and best choice of serving the Lord as your maker, serving God as the cornerstone of your life, here's what happens. Decision making becomes a whole lot easier. When God is the foundation of who you are, that the Lord is the basis of how you function and how you worship and everything, then what happens is that you learn how to make godly decisions for your career, for your family, for your finances, for your church, for whatever. You begin to learn how to make right decisions. So in all reality, as your notes say, the truth is this: God is the basis for all good decisions. God is the basis for all good decisions. If you want to make a good decision, hear me, go the way of the Lord. Go the way of God. If you don't, and you trust in yourself, and what feels right, and what feels good sometimes, which is so misleading, if you go your own way, hear me, you will be leading yourself into death, is what the Bible says. Trust in the Lord, and lean not on your own understanding. When you make that decision to follow God, and that God is the cornerstone of your life, and that first and best choice, some things are going to happen. You're going to learn who God is and how he impacts your decision making. The first point is this, is that when we have God in the basis of our life, God gives us understanding. God gives us understanding. Proverbs 9:10 reads this. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Let me read that to you again. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The reality of making good decisions is the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of the Holy One. Now, what does that mean, the fear of the Lord? I mean, does that mean that we approach God shaking in our boots, scared to death? You know, the fear of the Lord. That sounds horrible. What is the fear of the Lord? Well, that is a term that means awe, respect, love, and trust. So when we have an awe, respect, love, and trust of God, we're living in the fear of the Lord. When we are walking with a reverence for God, we have an understanding that we really value what he says. And then it says that the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. What is that? Is that just book smart? Is that just getting to know God just by how many theology books you read or how many chapters of the book you read or whatnot? No, knowledge is an intimate knowledge, that you know the Lord personally. So when you have an awe and respect and you know the Lord, guess what happens? You begin to make right decisions. When you have a personal relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have a personal relationship, understanding comes to you. See, we need understanding because decisions are so complicated. Work decisions, family decisions, they're so hard to make. Finance decisions, they're so difficult to make. And we just need understanding. But that doesn't come from reading a book. It comes from growing close to God. It comes in a personal relationship with God. If I have a computer problem today, I know that Bill Gates can fix my computer. Would you agree with me on that today? If Steve Jobs is still alive, I believe Steve could have fixed any Mac problem. You think so? But here's the problem with that. Just because I know that Bill Gates can fix my Microsoft Windows when it blows up, doesn't mean he's going to come to my house and fix my computer. Is that fair to say? Probably not. Now, if I knew Bill, and he was my good buddy, and I had his number on speed dial, he my top five, I say, Bill, what's the deal? And he say, chill out, we gonna get fixed. But I don't know Bill. And because I don't know Bill, guess what? He ain't fixing my computer. See, understanding comes by being connected to God. And when we are connected to the Lord, he gives us understanding. He gives us wisdom. So the decision-making that you're trying to build upon, these decisions that you're trying to understand, it's not from you. You got to know the Lord. And when you know the Lord, he will give you understanding. That is a promise in Scripture, that he'll give you understanding if you have a knowledge of him and a fear of him, which again is all respect and love. But second, I want you to notice this about God, that God shepherds and leads. I love this, and we often read Psalm 23 at funerals and things like that, but really, we shouldn't really just associate this with death. This should really be a passage that we associate with life because it's a really good passage, and we've read it before. The Lord is my shepherd. There's nothing I lack. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths. For his namesake. Just listen to what God's doing in that passage. He's leading. He's leading you to quiet waters when the earth and the life is just so chaotic and everything's yelling and all this pressure. The Lord is leading you to a place of rest. He lets you lie down in green pastures, rest. You can trust in him that he knows what he's doing, that it's not on your shoulders, it's not in your hands, that he really does have it. He renews life. Who today could use a little bit of life renewed today? Just getting some life back in you. Getting back what the devil stole from you. Who could use some life today? Well, the Lord does that. He shepherds and leads. So when we're making decisions, it's very, very important that we just turn to God in a real way because the Lord will walk you through that. He's not going to leave you solo. He's not going to leave you alone. You got a hard decision. You got a tough decision. God helps you by leading you. And shepherding is just this idea of a shepherd with his sheep who's tenderly caring for them, leading them to the water, making sure that they have food to eat, water to drink, taking care of them. And that is the image of God in your life, that he's taking care of you. But here's the reality. If you don't trust the Lord and you don't let God lead you in your decision-making, other people and other things will make your decisions for you. Did you know that? There's a whole bunch of people out there that love to give their opinion. Has anybody else experienced that yet, except for me? You know, I think you should do this, Brother Kenny. I think you should raise your family like this. I think you need to do this, 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 and this, and this. I say, chill out. Let's look at what the Bible says. Let's look at what the Word says. Let's pray about this. And let's see how God shepherds and leads in this situation. Let's see how He shepherds and leads. See, sin will lead. Did you know that? Bad decisions will lead you if you let them. They most certainly will. Sin will lead you. And you know where it's going to lead you? Not to rest, not to green pastures, not to life renewal. Sin will lead you where? To death. A sinner's hell. And if we don't make that first and best decision, the reality is that somebody, something, someone will lead you in a way that's not of God. Don't let people make decisions for you. Let God guide you. Let the Lord lead you and teach you through His Holy Spirit and His Word. Be under the teaching of God's Word. And with that, I want you to know one thing else about God. Is that God does teach. God teaches us today. He teaches us. You know, really, we should know more today than we did yesterday. Would you agree with me on that? We should really know more today than we did 5 years ago. And likewise, we should know more in 5 years than we do today. Because we are learning, we are growing. Psalms 25, 4 through 5, the guy who writes it, he says this, "Make your ways known to me, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you the God, you are the God of my salvation. I wait for you all day long." What a perfect model of how we should live our lives. Lord, teach me. God, show me. I eagerly wait for you to guide me. I eagerly wait for you to guide me. But see, you can't pray that kind of prayer if you think you already have it figured out. You can't teach somebody who thinks that they know everything. Did you know that? You can't teach somebody who thinks that they know everything. It ain't happening, bro. It ain't working. You tell them, man, you need to do this. No, man, they ain't listening because they think they know it all. They think they know it all. If we're going to live for the Lord, we have to come to Him humbly and say, "God, it's not about me. It's about you. God, I need your teaching. I need you to guide me." And He shows us in what's called the Bible, the Scripture. And you know, listen, you can read this book 100 times over and get something new out of it every time. Do you know that? I mean, we are lifelong students of Scripture because there's so much good stuff in this book. It is not boring. It is not archaic. It is not out of date. It is just spot on for what you're dealing with right now. I promise you it is. It is just alive and active, the Bible. It's wild, absolutely wild, the Bible and how it just speaks into our lives. When we get a teachable spirit about us, and we come before God and say, "God, I just need some wisdom here. I need some guidance here." And we begin to study. We begin to seek His Word. And we begin to listen to the Lord. And we begin to trust in God. You're going to learn something. You're going to learn something. And He's going to teach you. And you know what? You might have made a bad decision today. But you get underneath the Holy Spirit and the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God and the leadership of the Bible, and you begin to trust in God. And remember, He gives you understanding. He begins to shepherd and lead you, and then you're going to be able to teach. What I love is that there are many people who's learned a lot of great lessons, who's already kind of blazed the trail ahead of me. I mean, godly men in my life that I surround myself with. I have a group of pastors that I meet with every week, and we just talk about life. These guys have done it. They're tried and tested. And I just want to surround myself with those type of people. I really do. And they pour into my life, and they help me because they've learned these great lessons from God. And now they're teaching it to me. I'm an idiot to think that I know everything. I'm an idiot. Yes, I am. If I think I know everything, I sure am. Reality is thank you for that though, my friend. Thank you. We gotta have a teachable spirit. Y'all with me on that today? We gotta have a teachable spirit. All this comes by knowing God personally. See, the first and best decision is what Joshua said. He said, "You can choose whatever you want to choose. You can go whatever route you want to go." He said, verse 14 and 24, he said, "Therefore fear the Lord and worship Him in sincerity and truth. Get rid of the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in the Egypt and worship the Lord." He tells these guys, he said, "Man, y'all need to quit worshiping false gods. You need to worship the real God." But then he says in verse 15, "But if it doesn't please you to worship the real God, the Lord, Choose for yourselves today the one you'll worship. He says you need to make a decision today who you're going to live for. You need to make a decision today. This last week, I sat down with a young man, and he told me, he said, Kenny, I'm at a crossroads. I don't know where I'm going. He says, if I go this way, I'm going to have money, I'm going to have success, I'm going to have women, I'm going to be all right. I'm going to be all right in the eyes of the world. But if I go that way, I know I'm not going to live for God. But then if I live for the Lord, I know that I won't have the success and the money, but I know it's what God wants. Honest as can be. He said, I'm at a crossroads. And you know what? You might be at a crossroads today too. Am I going to choose the Lord or not choose the Lord? It's a decision that you got to make, a personal decision. Because the truth is, God has already chosen to send Jesus to die for you. Isn't that awesome? The Bible says, for God so loved the world. He so loved you. I don't know what people have told you, but you are loved by God today. He loves you with a relentless love. He just loves you. And he chose to send Jesus to this earth to die for you so that you could have life and life everlasting if you just believe. The Bible says, whoever believes in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. The first and best choice is simple. You going to live for God or are you not going to live for God? Is this going to be a God-driven life or a me-driven life? Am I going to take a stand for the Lord or do it the way I think is the best way? I made that decision when I was 7 years old. Even though I didn't understand all the ramifications of that decision when I accepted the Lord, at the age of 13, God began to speak to me in a stronger way and just solidifying that. I know we're all getting to know each other, but answered the call to preach at the age of 13. And I made that decision a little bit solid in my life that I was going to live for the Lord. It doesn't mean that I've always done the right thing. Ask my wife. I do not always do the right thing. Trust me. Amen, Taryn. Uh-huh, she says, absolutely. Oh, no, I got a bit of a temper. All, you know, I can make dumb decisions. I can do this, that. I mean, hey, that's just me. Just being real. Can we take the mask off? Just being real. But here's what I can tell you, that for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. Nobody's going to affect that. Nobody's going to stop that. Nobody's going to come between that. My wife, my daughter, my life, we're going to live for Jesus. That's what we're going to do. We're going to live for Jesus. And I'm pretty solid in that decision. I hope today and I pray today that you have made that decision in your life. If you were to die today, do you know where you're going? Do you know it's into a place of rest, into a place of peace, like the good shepherd who leads our souls? Or is it into a place that sin leads you, to an awful place called hell? As we talk about over the next 4 more weeks, making good decisions, and we're going to go deeper into this. The first and best choice is this. You ready? Serve God or don't serve God. Accept Jesus or don't accept Jesus. That's what it boils down to. Men, you're going to be godly husbands. Wives, you're going to be godly wives. Teenagers, you're going to be godly kids for the Lord. Grandpas, grandmas, y'all going to be godly for your grandchildren. It's decision time. And the first and best choice is and always has been Jesus Christ. Would you just bow your head and close your eyes with me? Maybe today you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. How I would encourage you today to surrender your life to Jesus, to admit to God that you're a sinner, and to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and confess and commit your life to Jesus. How I would encourage you, like Joshua, to make that decision, that bold decision, we will serve the Lord. We're going to live for Jesus. We're going to live for the Lord. Maybe today you've never done that, and you say, Kenny, I want to live for God. I don't know if I'm going to go to heaven when I die. I know I'm a sinner. I know I've done things that are pretty lousy and crummy, but I need forgiveness. I need to be saved. I need God in my life. It feels like there's an emptiness inside my life, and I've looked everywhere, but it's got to be God. I want to choose the Lord to be God of my life today. Maybe today you've never done this. You've never asked the Lord into your heart to save you. How I would just pray that you would accept Jesus in your heart. It's not magic words. It's not some sort of prayer that you just repeat and it's over. But it's from the heart where you say, God, I need you in my life. Lord, I need you to come into my life. I believe that Christ died on the cross, that he rose again. And I'm confessing my need for Jesus. And I want to be saved. I want to live my life for Jesus. Maybe you've never prayed that today, and you're ready to pray that. Maybe you'd pray this prayer with me. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've really messed up. I've made bad choices. But Father, I believe that Christ died on the cross for my sins, and that he rose again. I'm committing my life to you. I'm asking Jesus to come into my life for the very first time. Thank you for saving me. I pray in the name of Jesus. Keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Out of curiosity, no one will point you out or pull you out or embarrass you. That's not how life community is going to work. We're not a place of shame. We're a place of love and life. That's why we're called life community. Prayed that for the very first time today, would you just let me know by raising your hand and say, Pastor Kenny, I did that today. I asked Jesus into my life for the very first time. Would you just slide your hand up real quick if you did that? Say, I did that for the first time today. Maybe there's some Christians here that have made some bad choices. And today is just a day of renewal, rededication, new beginnings, a new church, getting it back for the Lord. You like Joshua. We're going to live for the Lord. We're going to live for the Lord. We're going to live for the Lord. I pray for you that God will help you with that. Some of you all need to make that decision today, just to live for the Lord. Live for the Lord again. Live for God again. It's about Jesus. Father, we love you. Just help us, Lord, today to always look to Jesus Christ and to lift high the name of Jesus, so he can be glorified, lifted high, and worshiped. And God, when we turn our eyes on Jesus, when we make the first and best decision, you will lead us in every other decision to follow. Lord, we love you. We pray in your name. Amen. Look right here. We're going to stand and sing. And in a lot of churches, if you're new to church, we have a bit of a tradition where when we stand to sing, that if people have heard the word of God, just like we just did, and God's working on your heart, you may need to come and pray. And we welcome everybody to come and pray. Don't be afraid. If you need to come and just hit the floor down here and pray, you're welcome to. You're welcome to. Nobody's going to tell you no. My buddy Mark is going to be over here. My buddy Jeffrey is going to be over here on the wall. Maybe you need somebody to pray with today. These guys are here to pray with you. They're here to pray with you. They're going to be my prayer warriors. If you need prayer, just go to them. As we sit in here a second, we stand and sing. Maybe you prayed that prayer to ask Christ your life. You need to make that public. You need to make it public. You need to go to one of these guys and say, man, I did that. I did that. Show me the next step. I did that. So however you need to respond to Jesus Christ, we're going to stand. We're going to stand. And we're going to sing and worship. These men are here to pray with you. I'm here to pray with you. As would you come?